From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, right before a blizzard hit Northern Michigan last month, the U.S. Coast Guard rescued a man stranded on an ice floe in the Straits of Mackinac.
People went down on the ice, strapped him to a gurney, and he was pulled up onto the boat by rope. They also used a giant crane to retrieve his snowmobile as well.
Soon after, the man was deported. We'll have the details and the questions that still remain. And we have a cross to bear with this week's brain teaser. We'll tackle this divine question soon. But first, these headlines. A Michigan Democrat is among members of Congress saying they want to return early from their spring recess to address the war with Iran. The White House announced a ceasefire with Iran Tuesday after weeks of deadly bombing by both sides. But mid-Michigan Democratic Representative Kristen McDonald-Rivett says despite the ceasefire, it's time for Congress to get involved.
When it is this serious and we're seeing that kind of chaos in language coming from the president, we need to be in our seats, exercising our authority, and understanding what's going on.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson has so far not responded to calls to bring Congress back into session before next week's official end of the spring recess. Icebreakers continue to work around the clock in the upper Great Lakes to keep shipping channels clear as carriers and ferries try to make deliveries. Three ferries that service remote islands in the eastern Upper Peninsula experienced delays this week due to heavy plates of ice scattered across the St. Mary's River. Doug Durhammer is captain of the Nebish Island Ferry. He says the conditions have been challenging for the U.S. Coast Guard.
The plate ice that we have, we can see that it gives them a hard time as well and trying to keep the traffic flowing. This year just seems to be more ice than previous years.
According to federal data, just 6% of the Great Lakes are covered in ice. The 52-year average is about 11% for this time of year. U.S. Coast Guard said in a statement that icy conditions in the region will likely continue for about 2 weeks. They say cold temperatures are preventing the ice from moving out of the shipping channels. Officials say there's not much any vessel or combination of vessels can do until the weather changes. The largest county Republican Party in Michigan and the Republican frontrunner for governor are at odds over a debate later this month. Colin Jackson has more.
James, the current Republican frontrunner for governor, has largely avoided sharing the stage with his opponent so far. His campaign argues he'd rather wait until the candidate field is set. But the Oakland County GOP this week criticized him for not planning to show up at an upcoming debate. Party senior advisor Brian Schmidtke says the absence speaks volumes.
We have lower propensity voters participating in elections at rates that just haven't been seen before. And I think it's imperative that candidates are able to be out there providing clear contrast, right?
Other candidates include businessman Perry Johnson, Michigan Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt, and former State Attorney General Mike Cox. I'm Colin Jackson.
The Trump administration recently announced it plans to shut down four U.S. Forest Service research facilities in Michigan. Bridge Michigan reports that locations in East Lansing, Wellston, Houghton, and Lance will be impacted. According to a recent press release by the administration, the move will be a structural reset and a common sense approach to improving the Forest Service. But some critics describe the move as an effort to shrink the agency and a shift toward privatization and logging. An exact closure date was not announced, but changes will likely happen over the next year. And now it's time for this week's brain teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw today's teaser. And today's teaser is a Michigan landmark trivia question. This northern Michigan landmark is the second largest of these in the world and was one of the largest bronze castings to ever be shipped across the Atlantic Ocean. What am I? Again, this northern Michigan landmark is the second largest of these in the world and was one of the largest bronze castings to ever be shipped across the Atlantic Ocean. What am I? The answer, right after this. Right before a historic blizzard hit northern Michigan in mid-March, the U.S. Coast Guard rescued a snowmobiler that was stranded on an ice bridge in the Straits of Mackinac. Since then, as WCMU's Emma George Griffin reports, the man was deported. With little information available to the public, George Griffin looked further into the situation and joins me right now in the studio to talk about what she found. So tell us, Emma, take us back to the day of the rescue. What happened?
Yeah, so a man was snowmobiling across the ice bridge that connects Mackinac Island to St. Ignace, like many residents in that area do. But weather on that day was extremely bad, and the snowmobiler got stranded on an ice floe. The Coast Guard cutter ship located the snowmobiler, and people went down on the ice, strapped him to a gurney, and he was pulled up onto the boat by rope. They also used a giant crane to retrieve his snowmobile as well. The video of that rescue is online. It has thousands of views. Yeah. People have watched it. But a few days later, the U.S. Border Patrol made a Facebook post saying they arrested, quote, an illegal alien from Spain with the help of the Coast Guard.
Oh, so I understand the Mackinac Island Fire Department played a role in this rescue. Did you learn anything from their perspective?
That's right. The Mackinac Island Fire Chief, Jason St. Ange, talked about the rescue on his podcast. He said conditions out on the ice bridge that day were extremely unsafe. Like, he wouldn't have even crossed the bridge that day. And he compared, you know, the whiteout conditions mm-hmm. to driving during a blizzard. When there's a whiteout, you don't know what lane you're in,
right.
But worse.
And once you're in it, there's not a lot you can do about it. You can't really turn around and follow your own tracks because you can't see your own tracks. You can't see anything.
St. Ange says the snowmobiler was using the ice bridge to get to work on the mainland that day. The snowmobiler's boss actually called the fire chief when he found out the man was lost and stranded on the ice. So St. Ange says he got a team together. They went to search for the stranded man on foot. And they were using kind of like a ping location from the man's cell phone to track him.
But the fire department wasn't a part of the final rescue, right?
Yeah, that's right. Things went south pretty quickly. The fire chief says even though they train for situations just like this, it was extremely difficult.
I don't say a needle in a haystack. I say we're looking for a needle in a pile of needles. And it has to be coordinated, and communication has to be of the utmost.
That's where things went wrong. St. Ange says communication during this rescue was like a big game of telephone. The snowmobiler didn't speak English well, so he was communicating to his boss through a translator, and then his boss was talking to the fire chief. So it kind of made a dire situation that much more complicated.
Sounds like it, yeah.
So during this massive game of telephone, they were trying to give the snowmobiler instructions to reach the fire department on the ice, but he ended up hitting open water.
If there's open water separating us from him, there's no way we're going to get to him. And so I immediately called over to the Coast Guard.
St. Ange said the Coast Guard initially said they weren't going to send people out on the ice for this rescue, and we don't know why they changed their minds.
And the big question is, how did this man go from being rescued then to being deported?
According to St. Ange, the Coast Guard asked the snowmobiler for proof of citizenship after they realized he didn't speak English, but neither the Coast Guard or Border Control actually confirmed that. On his podcast, St. Ange says the snowmobiler didn't have any ID and that's why he was deported. But like I said, we really don't know what led to that situation.
Wow. So Emma, you've gotten a lot of information here, but there seems like there are some unknowns. And I guess, what are you still looking into to figure this out?
Yeah, Tina, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I got a lot of information from the fire chief's perspective on his podcast. I did make a public records request to Mackinac Island, and I got information on the snowmobiler's boss. So I called him too, and he said he didn't want to talk about the situation. So he didn't confirm why his employee was out on the ice, or if he asked him to come to the mainland for work, or if he was just recreating. But I would really like to know why the Coast Guard changed their minds on the rescue, and if the snowmobiler's immigration status had anything to do with it. I called and emailed the U.S. Border Patrol, and so far they have not given me any more information. In the past year, we've seen U.S. citizens and immigrants with valid documentation be deported. So I think that's why it's important to know the exact reasoning and proof for this and any other deportation.
Emma, thank you so much for your reporting on this, and keep digging and let us know more.
Thanks, Tina.
That was my conversation with WCMU's Emma George Griffin. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. Of Michigan's many landmarks, this Northern Michigan landmark is the second largest of these in the world and features one of the largest bronze castings to ever be shipped across the Atlantic Ocean. What am I? Again, this Northern Michigan landmark is the second largest of these in the world and was one of the largest bronze castings to ever be shipped across the Atlantic Ocean. What am I? The answer is the Cross in the Woods. Yes, at 55 feet tall, the Cross in the Woods in Indian River is the second largest crucifix in the world, right behind a crucifix in Bardstown, Kentucky, which stands at 60 feet. The statue of Jesus was created by artist Marshall Fredericks, cast in bronze in Oslo, Norway, and then shipped back over the Atlantic. Whew. I was praying you'd get that answer right. Maybe you did. Congrats.
That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, radio.wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Enjoy your weekend.